Gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and The God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God, torment me not. It is written, what is thy name? And he saith unto him, my name is Legion, for we are many. It is written, and they besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. It is written, and they began to beseech him to depart from their borders. It is written, go to thy house, unto thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and how he had mercy on thee.
Your God is just a prayer away.
And there met him a man out of the tombs who had an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling in the tombs. And no man could any more bind him, no, not with a chain, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been rent asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, and no man had strength to tame him. And always night and day in the tombs and in the mountains he was crying out and cutting himself with stones, and for a long time he wore no clothes. When the Master's voice is calling, and the gates of the city unfold, and the saints of the ages are thronging into the city of gold, how my heart will overflow with rapture if some brother shall greet me and say, you pointed my footsteps to heaven, and you told me of Jesus the way. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this message from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 5, entitled, A Man Whose Name Was Legion. Mark chapter 5 tells us the lifestyle of a man who had a legion of demons living in his body. After the Lord Jesus had stilled a tempest at sea, they landed at the region of Gadara. And when he was come up out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Mark says that legion saw Jesus from afar. Now that is a suggestion of what the devil will do in our case. The devil never, 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 never wants us to get any closer to the Lord than we have to. Always come early to services so that you can be assured of getting a back seat. The unclean spirit cried with a loud voice. Now listen to these demons as they hiss at the Lord. Torment me not. Matthew adds the time element to this request. Art thou come to torment us before the time? When Jesus showed up on the beach, the demons thought he was going to start their torment ahead of time. Listen to the demons as they hiss out their view of hell. The devils believe in hell. Many people say they don't believe in it. Well, what about Hitler? If there is no hell, do they expect to see Der Führer goose-stepping down the golden sidewalks of heaven? If there is no hell, what about those assassins who destroyed the Twin Towers? Did they go to a heaven where they had a limitless supply of virgins? Where else could they go if there's no hell? Remember how the demons hissed out the truth of the matter. They said, "Torment me not." Remember, James says that the demons believe and tremble. There are many today who have the same faith as the devil. They fully believe that Jesus is the Son of the Most High God, and yet, like the devil, they want nothing to do with him. The devil also knows he has no hope, and his hatred for the Lord Jesus is so intense that in his rage he wants to take as many of the people that Jesus died to save with him if he can. Evidently, one of his favorite devices is to convince people that there's no such place as hell. The philosophy of the demons is the same today. They hissed, "What have we to do with thee?" They want nothing to do with Jesus, either here or in eternity. Demons hate angels. They hate the church. They hate Jesus. And like Adam, when he sinned, he did not want to be in God's presence. The demons made a request to the Lord. Since he was going to cast them out, they asked him to allow them to enter into the hogs. Jesus gave them leave, and no sooner did they enter into the hogs than all 2,000 of them ran down the hill and drowned in the waters. This demon-filled man said that his name was Legion, for we are many. What kind of a lifestyle does a person have who is controlled by the devil? One thing, no man could bind him. No, not even with chains and locks. He could break the restraints like spider webs. People are breaking the chains of restraint today. A description of modern man is found in the second psalm. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. People are not going to be bound by any of the laws of God. We hear them hiss like the serpent in their rabid efforts to get rid of every reminder of the Ten Commandments. Many today, like Legion, are crying out today. Just turn on the radio and television and listen to their unintelligible hissing as they bellow out the ballads of Beelzebub. They cast and cut themselves with something worse than stones. They perforate their lungs by inhaling smoke. They destroy their lives by drinking poison. They fry their brains by shooting cocaine. Mankind, controlled by the devil, of course, lives like Legion. We too live among the tombs. It is impossible to drive around a city or countryside very long without seeing a cemetery. Every time we pass by a cemetery, we hear the hiss of the serpent in every funeral procession. Legion lived among the dead. He He is not the only one who lives among the dead. The Apostle Paul tells the church at Ephesus in Ephesians, the second chapter, "And you did he make alive when you were dead in trespasses and sins." Many today prefer to live among those who are dead in trespasses and sins. They prefer the fellowship of the spiritually dead to the saints of God. When the townspeople came out to investigate, they found this man sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. In other words, before he came under the influence of Christ, he acted like a real nut. Think, too, of the fact that he went around naked. Luke tells us that for a long time he wore no clothes. No wonder he lived alone. Actually, if the devil had his way, we would all take our clothes off. The devil hisses, "It's all right, because everybody else is doing it." Actually, we are all spiritually naked before God before we became Christians. Being naked is what happened to Adam and Eve. When they sinned, they discovered they were naked and hid themselves amongst the trees of the garden. Adam said, "I was naked, and I hid myself." Ladies and gentlemen, God has provided proper clothing for us. Paul said in Romans 13, "Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Again in Galatians 3, "As many of us as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ." One time Jesus told a parable about the judgment. When a man tried to get into heaven stark naked, Jesus told him, "How camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. "Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth." Now the townspeople wanted Jesus to leave. The reason they wanted him to leave was Jesus is just too expensive. I asked a farmer about the price of hogs. He said a good rule of thumb would be $100 for a pig just big enough to get to market. Now think of that. 2,000 hogs floating belly up in the water would be worth about $200,000. If they only weighed 100 pounds apiece, that would be quite a jolt in the local economy. Covetousness is still one of the major weapons the devil uses today. It was nice for Jesus to make this demoniac a good citizen, but it cost too much. The price was too high. "Jesus, we can't afford you. Get out of here." The demons always hiss when money is mentioned regarding the ongoing of the church. The townspeople thought more of ham than heaven. They thought more of pickled pig's feet than prayer. They thought more of bacon than baptism. They thought more of sausage than salvation. They thought more of pork chops than piety. They thought more of hog houses than church houses. They thought more of lard than the Lord. And they thought more of chitlins than Christ. What a senseless set of values they had. They had the answer to the greatest ills of their community, but they were not willing to pay the price. Listen to these words. "Rabbi, begone. Thy powers bring loss to us and ours. Our ways are not thine. We love swine. O get thee hence, omnipotence, and take this fool of thine. We have lost our swine." He had wrought for them a sign of love and tenderness divine. They wanted swine. Christ stands before your door and gently knocks, but if your gold or swine blocks, he will depart and leave you to the pleasures of your heart. Now, think of the plight of this man. He was naked. He lived in no house and dwelt in the tombs, exceeding fierce. He was a threat to anyone that passed by. He was filthy. He cut himself with stones. and all efforts to subdue him had failed. He was a public nuisance. And the worst part of his condition is the fact that it was no one that did anything to him. He did it all to himself, under the influence of the devil. Many today are like the wild man of Gadara. They are their worst enemies. They inflict upon themselves cancer of the lungs by nicotine over a period of years. No one does it to them. They do it to themselves. Some by booze, drugs, gambling, rob themselves of reason and money, homes, and life itself. No one does it to them. They do it to themselves, under the influence of the devil. Ladies and gentlemen, if any of their fellow men had done to them what they do to themselves, they would be in jail. It says they besought him to depart from their borders. It is difficult to imagine anyone like these people of Gadara, people who want to get rid of Jesus. However, times have not changed. We live in a country today where some very powerful groups want to get rid of Jesus. Not only have they told him to depart from their borders or the school system, and some seem hell-bent on getting rid of every and any mention of God and the Lord Jesus Christ in the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. They told Jesus to depart. Now, Jesus never stays where he isn't wanted. So he and the apostles got back in the boat to leave. The man who had been full of a legion of demons besought the Lord that he might go with him. But Jesus suffered him not. Jesus could see that this man would be a more effective witness right there at home more than any place else. The parting word of the Lord to the man he delivered from the demons was, "Go home to thy friends and tell them what great things the Lord hath done for thee, and how he had mercy on thee." If Legion had been like us, he might have said, "Lord, what can I do all by myself?" Not so with Legion. He learned long ago, before Paul said it, that we walk by faith and not by sight. Actually, even though the Lord has gone to heaven, he has given us the promise when we preach his word, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." So Legion departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things the Lord had done for him, and all men marveled. Whenever a person has a personal encounter with Jesus today, he, like Legion, will want to be with Jesus all he can and will have a story to tell about the great things the Lord has done for him, and all men will still marvel. Now, I don't know the particulars of Legion's evangelistic campaign. I don't know the details. But one day, Legion was walking down the street, and one of his old buddies saw him, hadn't seen him in a long while, and called him across the street. "Hey, Legion! Oh, Leege! Looking good, man, looking good. Last time I saw you, you looked like a man who had just climbed a thorn tree, with a wildcat under each arm and a chainsaw in his hand. Man, what in the world happened to you? You are smooth, man, smooth, not a scratch on you." Legion said, "Let me tell you about that. It is true I used to cut myself with knives and rocks, and that's not all. You should have seen my insides. My spleen was shot by all that booze I was swilling. My lungs were perforated by all that nicotine I was sucking. My brains looked like scrambled eggs from drugs, but one day I met Jesus, the Son of the Most High God, and I don't do those things anymore." Ladies and gentlemen, when you meet Jesus, the Son of the Most High God, I don't mean that Jesus who makes you feel sentimental when Santa Claus comes, or at Easter when the bunny rabbit comes hopping, hopping, hopping along in his yearly visit. I mean the Jesus who strides across the pages of the 89 chapters of the gospel record. That Jesus will change every area of your life. Like I say, I don't know the particulars, I don't know the details. But one day Legion was walking down the street, and one of his old buddies saw him and called out to him across the street, "Hey, Legion, Oh, Leach, looking good, man, looking good. But where have you been keeping yourself? We have been missing you down at the cave. You never attend our meetings anymore down at the graveyard anymore. Legion said, let me tell you about that. It is true I used to hang around in all those hell spots. I used to like the smell of all that sweaty, rotten flesh, those slime pits, and all that putrid odor of booze and vomit. But one day I met Jesus, the Son of the Most High God, and I have no desire to go to those places anymore. You won't see me in the porn movies anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, when you meet the Jesus who strides across the pages of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he will change every area of your life. Like I say, I don't know the particulars, I don't know the details. But one day Legion was walking down the street and one of his old buddies saw him and called him across the street. Hey, Legion! Oh, Leach, looking good, man, looking good. Man, what in the world happened to you? The last time I saw you, you were the town streaker. Now there you are wearing a three-piece suit, a button-down shirt, a tie, and genuine leather shoes. Legion said, let me tell you about that. I used to be the town streaker. One day I met Jesus, the Son of the Most High God, and I was embarrassed. Someone threw me a towel. Someone else got me a suit. And I haven't been naked in public since. Ladies and gentlemen, if the devil had his way, we would all take our clothes off. But when you meet Jesus, the Son of the Most High God, he will change every area of your life. So go and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and that he had mercy on you. Then one day a wonderful thing happened. In Mark 7, Jesus came back to Decapolis. They brought to him this time a man who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. Jesus put his fingers in his ears and spat on the ground and said, Ephatha, that is to say, be opened. And straightway the deaf man spake and heard. On this visit, the people did not say, depart from our borders. They said, he hath done all things well. He maketh even the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Now these same people who wanted to get rid of Jesus did not tell him to depart this time. They've changed their minds. Now they think more of baptism than bacon. Now they think more of salvation than sausage. Now they think more of the Lord than lard. Now they think more of Christ than chitlins. They think more of the church house than tog house. They think more of piety than pickles, pig feet. They think more now of prayer than pork chops. And they think more of heaven than ham. What was the reason for the change? The change was caused by one man who went everywhere and told the people what great things the Lord had done for him. Now this in conclusion. Legion was faithful in carrying out the commission that was given to him. Is there not a commission given to us as Christians? Is there not some great thing the Lord has done for us? There is such a charge given to us. Jesus said, all authority hath been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. Then, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. According to Mark, Jesus sent them out with the words, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. According to Luke, Jesus told them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved the Christ to suffer and rise again from the dead, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name unto all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. A composite of these three examples of the great commission of Jesus includes believing, repentance, and baptism for the remission of sins. The apostles began to carry out those orders on the day of Pentecost, when they preached the first gospel sermon on the theme, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Those who responded that day were baptized, and the Lord added to them in that day 3,000 to them that were saved. Luke tells us they continued steadfastly in the doctrine of the apostles and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and the prayers. Ladies and gentlemen, when the Lord returns to our Decapolis, will there be anybody who will say of the Lord, because of our efforts in preaching the Great Commission, "Lord, Thou hast done all things well"? Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address: Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again: Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition, tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.